It is my honour, it is also my duty, but it is also my privilege and joy to welcome you all this afternoon to the House of the Lord here, Calgary Free Presbyterian Church, to have and to hold an act of celebration and thanksgiving to the Lord upon our 40th anniversary of the Lord's work here. I bid you all welcome. I thank you for those who are joining us online. You're very welcome in the Lord's name. And as you see before you, we have the anniversary service, order of service. And I have just a very few announcements before we commence. And that is that tomorrow morning service, towards the end of the service, little Sierra Struck will be dedicated. And our brother, the Reverend Dr. Larry Saunders, will be administering the dedication. In the evening, the same preacher, the Mr. Saunders, will be preaching, giving a missionary report and bringing us the Word of God as well. Next week, we have our usual services, adult Bible class at 10 a.m. and then morning worship at 11 and the evening service at 6 p.m. I will be the preacher in the Lord's will for both of those services. In the evening, I hope to give a full word of testimony, bringing the Word of God, of course, but also giving a personal testimony of the effect and the working of the Word of God in this sinner's life. All these announcements, the few that I've mentioned, are all subject to the will of God. I'd like to ask one of our deacons, Mr. Caleb Struck, to come and open in prayer, please.
Let us all pray. Lord, as we gather here together as thy people, Lord, at, Lord, the remembrance of thy hand here upon this work, Lord, we thank thee that we do come to the one and true and holy God, O Lord, the one who has all things in his hands. And, O Lord, we know this of this church here in Calgary, Lord. O Lord, we thank thee so much for thy faithfulness, Lord, for thy love towards us as thy people. O Lord, and we thank thee so much for thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we do have salvation, Lord. And because of this, Lord, because of thy dear Son, we have a gospel that is worthy to be preached, a gospel that saves men from their sin, O Lord. O Lord, and in thy sovereign grace, you have instituted thy church. O Lord, a church built up of sinners, of men and women, O Lord, just frail creatures. But yet, O Lord, how you seek to use them for thy honor and thy glory. So be with us here, O Lord, how we praise thee for thy tender mercies towards us, even as we, O Lord, take this time to reflect upon not only the past, and thy faithfulness, Lord, but yet, O Lord, what thou art doing right now. And we ask and pray, O Lord, that you would come and meet with us at this time. Send down thy Holy Spirit. May thy presence be known to all here in this building and to those even that may watch from afar, O Lord, online. We just ask and pray that you would come and meet with us, Lord. So be with us here now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thank you, Mr. Struck, for that prayer. Let us commence sung worship by singing the first hymn on the song sheet, hymn 221, The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Please stand to sing this hymn, please.
Thank you.
Amen. We now have a number of video messages, which we will attempt to show. So the first message we have is, that's not even standing right, is from Mr. Frank McClelland, and he is the emeritus or retired minister in our Toronto congregation, a congregation which we've had over the years much blessed contact with. I presume the table's a bit wonky, it's not Mr. McClelland. And it's about, this is a 7 minute portion, or maybe approaching 8 minutes. My intention was to give a short potted history of the work here, but as I was speaking to the Reverend McClelland and then after him, Mr. Whiteside, they were bringing so much of the history out, I thought, well, I'd leave it up to them, the men that were there, who know far better than me, than I. So Mr. McClelland will now give a short word.
Well, first of all, let us say that I'm very, very sorry that I cannot be there. I would dearly love to be in the Calvary before these special meetings this weekend. But as some of you know, I had surgery a month ago, and I'm still in the recuperation stage, and so I couldn't come. But I'm delighted to be able to share with you in this time, and remember back the 30 years those were. Good years. In fact, to tell you the truth, one of the best prayer meetings that I have ever been in my wife, she that bears a testimony to, was in the early days of the Calvary Church. There are three prayer meetings. One is in Greenville, one was in Vancouver, and another one was in Calvary. Tremendous sense of the presence of the Lord. So I look back with happy memories to those days. Do you want me to continue? Okay, right, I'll talk away. Calvary Church, its start goes back to 1973, actually, and that would be when Mr. Cairns started the Let the Bible Speak, a Bible broadcast. And just shortly after we started broadcasting in Isle of Man, I did an opening in a broadcast in Richmond Hill, which is just north of Toronto, and that was in 1973. So we started to broadcast there, and we just put out the Let the Bible Speak broadcast from Belfast to Canada. And it was sort of a warm up for our church, actually. And then in May 1997, I had a phone call from Jim Warnock. Now, I don't know whether you've met Jim Warnock or not, but Jim was one of the, he was the key man in the beginning of the work of the Calgary Church. And he phoned me from Calgary to Toronto, and he asked me what were the possibilities of having the radio ministry, Let the Bible Speak, go in Calgary. And I said, well, we can do that. So we did. And in the middle of 1977, broadcast began in Calgary and also in Wetaskiwin. And the broadcast went out from there. And the people heard it, of course, and got interested. And then I went out myself to meet Jim and to talk with him, and also to meet with interested believers. And so we had a very good time and met the people there. And shortly afterwards, the Reverend Billy White said that he mentioned that Billy, he was interested in the Calvary, and he showed interest in it. And he and I We travelled to Calgary in May of 1979 when we had our first actual meeting, and we had, I think if my memory serves, we had 18 people present at that, and that was the, really the beginning of the church. Billy, he decided to accept the call to come to Calgary, and in the 20th of May 1980, the White Sides, they arrived in Calgary, and on the 1st of June, the 1st of June 1980, you have the very first Calgary church service. We started in a place called Mount Royal College. No idea where it is now. And then it moved to Glenbrook Elementary School, and then it moved again to Spruce Cliff Community Hall. And those were good times that were held in there. And in the present church that you're in right now, that was opened on October 1998. And the funny thing was that the bank demurred on helping the church in the early days. But when it came to the church right now, if my memory is right, they didn't need any bank because the Lord supplied the need for them in a wonderful way. Now, the Calgary Church had some difficult times, that in the early days there were some difficulties, and the Lord brought through those difficult times, and there were blessings from the Lord. One of the difficulties was the number of ministers, because Billy Whiteside, he was there for about a year and a half, I think it was, and then he was followed by Fred Greenfield, and then after him, Tom Tice, who was from the States. Tom was there, and then in 1990, David Fletcher became the pastor, and then after that, then Arnold Tomasian was there for a short while, and now Paul Packers. So they've had a number of preachers, and a number of visiting preachers too, because thought that we had some gaps between those ministers, and were filled in with people like Dr. Paisley. I must tell you about the protest that was held against Dr. Paisley, that he came over for some services, and at the place where we held them, there was a lineup of protesters, and Dr. Paisley, he mocked them, because the press, they asked him, you know, "Oh, this is terrible, Dr. Paisley, there's a protest against you." And he said, "Oh, I wouldn't call that a protest. That's a miserable little protest." So I went out, actually, to the line of people, and I saw a young man standing there, one of the protesters, and I said to him, "But what are you actually protesting?" And he looked blank, and then he put his hand into his inside pocket, and he put on a piece of paper and said, "Paisley." And so he knew nothing about Dr. Paisley. He knew nothing. He was one of these kind of protest type people. So we all had a good laugh at that. And so those were wonderful and blessed times. Visiting preachers, Ken Alec was here, Benji Cranston, John Hall, a missionary from Spain, he was there, Alan Cairns was there, John Douglas was there, Cecil Maneri was there for a few months, I think it was, Cecil, before he died. So we had all kinds of preachers, and those were happy times indeed.
Our next speaker is Reverend William Whiteside, who was the first minister here. And we'll just hear from him as well.
I'm very pleased that the work has gone on from strength to strength. It's it doesn't seem like 40 years ago that Thais and I packed up the children and went off to Calgary. But we are very pleased that they have now reached their 40th anniversary. We wish them every blessing, and we of course always follow your progress there with interest since we have been involved right from the beginning, and we're always glad to hear of the progress, and even the ups and downs, we share in those sorrows or griefs or problems. There's been a few deaths of friends that we made and we're right there, and we are dealing with the congregation of those dear friends, but we still have a number of friends that we didn't even met there, you know. They're getting fewer, Paul, because 40 years things happen, but we do wish the congregation every blessing, and we're very pleased that now you and your wife and family are there, that they've got good, godly pastor, and we're confident that the work will move forward, and the end is not yet. It's only 40 years. It will grow, and it will be no doubt in the days ahead. There will be good news coming of the progress of the work there. So we wish you every blessing on your 40th anniversary.
There is more, but we'll look at that some other time as a congregation. And now we have some well wishes from Armin Tomassian and family.
Well, good evening to you, beloved, our dear friends there at Calgary FPC, from all of us, the Tomassians, from my wife, Melanie.
Hello, everyone.
From Elissa. Lois,
hello.
Naomi,
hello.
And myself, Armel Tomassian. We are glad to join in just for a few minutes in your celebration of 40 years, a not insignificant time in which the church there has been a faithful witness in the city of Calgary. We look back with much fondness on our time there, ministering among you, to think of it being our first pastoral ministry, and the inevitable patience that is necessary with someone who's just starting out. It was a time of great joy and privilege to be there ministering with you. Our memories are very happy ones indeed. And we do think of you often. We have been thinking about you even of late as another one of those who have stood by for years, and that work has been promoted to glory. We think even since our leaving of Howard, of Linda, and of Wayne passing, and it's just at the time that you will be watching this, it will be 1 year and a week, I guess, since Linda passed away. We do think of you, we pray for you, we are thankful to the Lord for not just the time you've had there, but your strength and courage and faithfulness in staying there, even as you waited for God to send the next man of his choosing to pastor and bring the word of God to you. And I thought of a text, I was trying to think of a text, something just to bring to you, and my mind went straight immediately to the verse, the final text that I brought to you, the final message I preached as my time in Calgary came to an end. It was Luke chapter 12, verse 32, for those of you who may not remember. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I want to re-emphasize that again, that there was never any need to fear. There is never at any point time when we need to fear, because our God is not reluctant in blessing us, in pouring out his blessings upon us, in leading us and guiding us and providing everything we need. Even at times when we are stretched and our faith is tested, he is still faithful and he is with fatherly love looking down upon us. And I trust that you will continue to rejoice, and that these 40 years that have passed, you can look back on them and ask God for at least another 40 more of faithfully working and laboring. The Lord has added, as much as we mentioned, that he has taken away and promoted some to glory. He's also added some, so I think of the little ones that are there in your midst now, and rejoice in this and these additions, and trust that God will continue to add to the congregation. It's a strange time. Be patient with the circumstances. It will pass, and when it does, you set your eye to the goal and labor along with Reverend Backhurst with all of your might, and make Christ known in that needy city of Calgary. Again, it has been a privilege just to say these few words to you. We do pray for you and trust that God's blessing will be upon you, and we'll hear good news from a far country, as it were, and that the Lord will just add to you and encourage you, make Christ magnified in your midst. Take care from all of us again, the Tomasians. God bless you all.
And our last message is from our own sister Heather Downey. Heather had wanted to be here, but three services on the trot was too much for her. So I recorded. Heather had written and prepared something, so she's reading it out, something of our own personal experience here. Let me just see if I can move that to one side. Right, maybe not. I'm just trying to get rid of that ugly one on the left, but it's not really working. So just look to the right.
The 40th anniversary of the Free Presbyterian Church in Calgary, 2020. Our pastor, Reverend Backhurst, asked me to write on the 40th anniversary of Calgary Free Presbyterian Church. It is a brief overview. In 1980, Wayne and I were attending a Baptist church. At this time, it was impressed upon Wayne that we should look for a church which took a separated stand from World Council of Churches and other compromising organizations. Listening to the car radio one Sunday, we heard a minister preaching and announcing a new church in Calgary, the Free Presbyterian Church. We liked what we heard and decided to investigate. Wayne came and got me the following Sunday morning, and we went to the school music room where the services were being held. Jim Warnock and Paul Walker met us at the door with an order of service. There were a dozen or more people and children in attendance. We found out that the church had commenced several months before in June of 1980, with Reverend William Whiteside being the preacher. We were impressed with the fullness of the preaching, as we had not heard this kind of preaching in a long time. As time went by, we were also impressed with the way the minister always pointed us to Christ and of our need of him and of putting him first in our lives. The authorized King James Bible was used, and the old hymns with sound doctrine were sung with gusto. The salvation message was presented regularly. We must be born again. We were married in this church, as well as Sunday morning adult Bible classes and Sunday school, morning and evening services. There was a weekly Bible study and prayer meeting, men's prayer meeting and a ladies' prayer meeting. As time went by, the Lord was pleased to bring in more people. We also went door to door giving out invitations to the church services. Later, there were Bible clubs for the children of the church and the neighborhood. Several times we moved to a hall and back to the school. Eventually, the Lord enabled us to purchase the little blue church in Bridgeland. 13 years later, in the autumn of 1998, we were able to purchase a present church here in Pine Ridge, giving us the needed room for expansion. Over the years, Wayne and I learned many Bible truths, were challenged and instructed as to living the Christian life. We made many close friends as well who gather around, encouraging us in the Word in times of joy and of sorrow. Sadly for us, the Lord was pleased to take Wayne home in June. As time has gone by, the church congregation has experienced ups and downs. However, the Lord has kept the doors open and provided the means to enable us to go on and people to join with us. The Lord has been pleased to save souls. May the church continue on in the will of the Lord and in the faithful preaching of His Word. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness.
So it's good to see some recognizable faces. Maybe for some of you, they are new faces. And to hear something from first-hand witnesses of the early work, and of course to hear from the Lord's servant here in recent years. I'd like to ask a member of the session, Mr. George Robinson, one of the elders of this congregation, to come and to give some messages of congratulations that we've received. And to give a short, brief, not too long, personal word. Did you get the hint? And we'll move on. Thank you.
You had to say that, because I guess my reputation is far and wide. And I was only asked a little while ago, so I may go down some rabbit trails.
Short ones.
Short ones, okay. But let me just, first of all, before I bring my comments, I'll just read a couple of messages here from, first of all, from David Mook, pastor of Phoenix Free Presbyterian Church. And I start with, since the 1987 installation of Reverend Fred Greenfield, I've had the honor and joy of visiting the Calgary Church on numerous occasions. On this momentous occasion, when you reflect on four decades of gospel ministry in Calgary, I wish you, on behalf of the church in Phoenix, the Lord's richest blessings. To Heather Downey, in particular, we offer our thanks and admiration for your intrepid loyalty to the cause of Christ and your humble devotion to Him. We remember with warm fondness the labors of our brother and your late husband, Wayne, and of other faithful witnesses of Christ who were willing and eager to stand with the Savior outside the camp. May the church in Calgary, under the leadership of its newly installed minister, the Reverend Paul Backhurst, advance in the faith of the gospel and continue to be faithful to the Savior. Again, that's from David Mook, pastor of Phoenix Free Presbyterian Church. And another message here from David and Yvonne Priestley, and I quote here, "Greetings in the Savior's worthy name. We send our warmest congratulations to the congregation on this very special occasion of the 40th anniversary and the installation of the Reverend Paul Backhurst. The progress of the Lord's work at Thessalonica thrilled the heart of the Apostle Paul. He thanked God for every remembrance of them, for the work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Paul, we give thanks to God for the work in Calgary, and our prayer is, as was said of Zion in Psalm 87, verse 5, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. yours in Christ, David and Yvonne Priestley. Now, in my own comments, I don't go back as early as some of those that you've heard from in this involvement in this work. Although I was aware of the work, and I was around since 1976 in the work in Toronto, so I came and went occasionally, especially around the weeks of prayer. And so I do remember with Dr. McLennan those early days and exciting days there were. There were the ups and there were the downs. But tonight, or this afternoon rather, I would just like to really go back over this last number of years since and start at one of the low points and maybe just make a few remarks, especially as I'm involved in finance. And I'm going to dip into some of the skills of my former trade as an analyst in certain areas where I was, you know, look at figures, and figures have to give you information. So I thought maybe I would just summarize the last 10 years since my involvement as, first of all, as a commission of presbytery. And I go back to 2009, and this is when we had one of those moments of history that left a small remnant of the congregation to carry the work for the next number of years until the Lord supplied an under-shepherd. And I just looked at the finances, and I just threw out a few figures, and I'll just for interest sake, because financial givings is really a litmus test of the congregation of people. It gives you, it's like a patient and a doctor, some vital signs of the work. And I think that it's interesting to look back over the period of time since then. And in 2008, just before we had the split in the congregation, the revenue was 160,000, and the bank balance, the cash on hand, was 31,000. And in 2009, it started to slip a little bit, and my involvement started in October of that year. And that was when the Commission of Presbytery came into existence, because in the next year, the finances went down to 65,000, and we had about 24,000 in the bank. Those were difficult times for those that of the membership that were left. Many of the adherents had left at that time. And so we had to do some rationalization of our expenses and batten down the hatches. And I do pay tribute to especially those that were there at that time. And I would like to mention especially Dwayne Eggert and his wife, and Wayne Downey and Roger Valenziano became three of the appointed deacons at that time for that work. And so I do remember those times when there was just a few people here. And we were, if you look at the financial statements for those number of years, almost 5 years of leanness, the average income was about 62,000 to 63,000 a year. And the bank balance was sitting at $20,000 to $30,000 on hand. And so we did some rationalizations. We cut out the accountant's fees. Probably saved the church about $40,000 over that period of time we took that responsibility on ourselves. I'd like to thank very much Heather Downey for her faithfulness and dependability on providing finances. I did the books from afar and prepared the statements and did the other government requirements. But Heather was a great help to me, and she would send her award documents to me faithfully with more information than I really needed. But I wasn't going to discourage her. I said she was very faithful. And also for Dwayne at that time sending me and others the offering sheets. And so we were able to continue on. And so I better just speed up here a little bit, and we come to Two points that in time which I will refer to, and that was in 2014, just the year before Armin came. I think he came, what, in January of 2015, if am I correct in that? And so very interesting things happened before then, because I know the call went out for a number of months before. But one of those things that I just looked at, again, figures can tell you a story. It was almost like I referred to 2 Samuel chapter 5. And David inquired of the Lord. He said, though they shall not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. It seemed to be we had that experience in this church in 2014. Even before the call went out, the finances increased dramatically. That year, 2014, ended up with an income of $117,000. And the bank balance was starting to increase. So even before, as we look back, sometimes we don't see it at the time, but when we review and take the big picture, we see something here that maybe we would never noticed if we were looking up close, that the Lord was moving the congregation even before the man was called. And so, as you heard from Armand, his ministry here was for about a little over three and a half, almost 4 years. The finances then went up to 130, 150, 190, and it came back up before the great secession, if I may put it that way, which in 2006 and 2007 was at 180,000. So the work came revived, financially speaking, and in every other sense. And then looking at 2019, another transition year, the finances maintained very healthy at 170,000, very little of a dip. Again, the Lord has shown us something marvelous here in that he has supplied the under-shepherd. And the finances on hand were the highest historically in this church of 175,000. And so the Lord knew what he was doing. He knows all these things. We just see it sometimes after the fact. So the figures show the health of this congregation, and it's really interesting just to note that. I would especially, before I'm going to conclude in a minute, to thank this congregation for its faithfulness, and especially for those warriors that continued through, and some have departed, as we've heard, and there's still some left with us. We honor your faithfulness over these, particularly these last 10, 11 years, and we look forward to what the Lord will do. And I also want to thank this congregation for their faithful missionary giving. You actually, in this church, must give on the almost the highest per capita to the mission works. And so I want to thank you for your faithfulness in this. And that is certainly a sign that the Lord is blessing you and will continue to bless. And so with that, I'm so happy to be here at this stage in time to celebrate with you these 40 years of testing. And we pray that now we will enter into the blessing that the Lord has for you folks. God bless.
Our brother, Mr. George Robinson, for giving that word an interesting angle, something I would never have looked at, but then I'm not a finance man in that way. The next thing on the order of service, I'm looking for any help, was to be a presentation. For our sister Kazia's not here. Has she delegated anything to anyone regarding this? No, right. Well, we'll move on and maybe that will take place tomorrow. There is a hymn. Oh, there is indeed. I was looking ahead and panicking. So I'll just put my panic to one side and we will indeed sing to the Lord's praise. Hymn 515. Please stand to sing. Jesus shall lead me. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so.
Thank you.
Could I please ask the Bathurst family singers to come up and minister in the Word of God, singing a hymn which I believe is not in the song bundle we have here, Wonderful, Wonderful Word of the Lord. And we're singing it to a tune that was composed by a minister, the Reverend Ryan McKee, there in Macrofeld. And we'll attempt to sing. So do you want to go around to the back? Let's see if the microphone picks us up. Thank you very much, family, for that ministry in song. May I ask another of our deacons, Mr. Bob Neamy, to come and read the Word of God to us, please. And I'll be reading from Psalm 118.
Oh, I love the sound of music. Anyway, we're reading from Psalm 118, and I'm glad it's not Psalm 119. We're reading the entire chapter. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go on into them, and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
I'd like to thank Mr. Bob Neamy for the reading of God's holy word. May I ask Brother, the Reverend Dr. Larry Saunders, to come up and give a address, give the word.
I mean, the preacher hasn't even got to the pulpit yet, and he's telling him, we got to finish at a certain time now. Haven't even started yet, so he's rushing me. Nonetheless, I have the first item of business is a great joyful one for us because we want to make a presentation to the church here in Calgary. I'll just take the plastic wrapping off this. We've been following, as I mentioned last evening, the history of the work here. with great delight, and hearing Dr. McClellan, Brother Whiteside sharing, and Brother Tomasian just sharing of their recollections and the blessings that they remember. Well, it was an encouragement to me. It stirred up many memories. I might share a couple of those with you in the course of my message. But it's great delight for me to be here representing our church in Toronto, our session, our board, and the entire congregation. And we want to make this presentation to the church here and to Reverend Backhurst. Let me just read this plaque for you today. Presented to Calgary Free Presbyterian Church, marking 40 years of faithful testimony in the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the congregation of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church, with appreciation and thankfulness to all who have faithfully preached the gospel, taught the word, and served the cause of Christ in Canada, 1980-2020. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, Hebrews 6, verse 10. So, brother, we'd like to present this to you.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. All right.
On behalf of the session, the board, deacons, and the congregation, I'd like to thank you.
Amen, brother.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
It is. We'll put it down to be viewed later on.
Oh, very good. All right. Folks, as I stand here today, it is a tremendous honor and a blessing to be able to share with you. You know, in preparation for a weekend like this, I know from past experience just how much work goes into it. The details would nearly sink you at times, but the danger, I think, is that the time comes and goes so quickly that we fail to take in the blessings. We don't want to rush through it. Brother, we're not rushing today, okay? Just relax here. We're not going to rush through this. This is so important to enjoy the moment and to take in what God has done and what He is doing. And it is a great and a marvelous thing. Great works has the Lord accomplished through all of us individually, a work of grace. And in a congregation, it is a tremendous blessing. And so I'm thankful to be able to present this to you today. Turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. Mark, chapter 2. I'm glad that Brother Gallagher yesterday paved the way because he said, I'm going everywhere preaching the gospel. And so homiletics may not be on the first item of agenda today, but never mind that. We're just going to bring you the word of the Lord, and I trust it will be a blessing and an encouragement for you. Just reading the first two verses of Mark chapter 2. And again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Bow with me, please, for a word of prayer. Father, what can we say today? Because thanks seems so small. And yet, Lord, you know our hearts. And we offer our praise. We offer today our worship. We say, Lord, come and pour out your blessing in a greater way upon this fellowship, upon this ministry here. Lord, just settle our minds and our hearts now for a few moments that we might look into the Word of God. Help me to speak the power of the Holy Spirit, and help everyone who is here to listen and to take in and to be blessed by the Scripture. Hear our prayers now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Remembering anniversaries. It's a very important thing. You ask, just how important is it? Well, ask a husband who has forgotten a wedding anniversary, and you will find out just how important it really is. I put my hand up because I have been there and I have done that before, and it is not a nice thing. Anniversaries are important. It's good to recognize them. It's good to remember them. The Lord intends us to remember significant events in our lives and in the lives of His people, the examples He's given to us in the Word of God. Israel was commanded to remember their deliverance from Egypt with a feast of the Passover. Our Lord gave us a memorial of communion of His table with the sole purpose of remembering, doing in remembrance of Him, a great sacrifice on Calvary, of the shedding of His own precious blood, of the giving of His own life in our place that we might have life. Now, while there are some things we are to forget, we're to forget our past sins, we are to forget our failures, we are to press forward to the prize and for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's a good thing for us to forget and to remember. Friends, we are to think about the great benefits and blessings that we have received in the gospel and worship the Lord and praise Him with all of our hearts. Let's step back for a moment and think again about Israel, the end of their 40-year wilderness walk. They came to Gilgal. It was that place where they were going to renew their fellowship with God, renew their commitment to the things of the Lord. They were making preparation for crossing into the land of promise, and God was going before them. And as the Lord went before them to bless them and to fulfill His divine purpose, they were heading into Canaan, a land of milk and honey, a land of mighty blessing. But there was something in front of them, an obstacle, and it was the Jordan River. At that time of the year, it was overflowing all its banks. And they were going to be crossing that area, but how? Well, the Lord was intending on damming the river up so that the water would flow away and allow them to cross over on dry ground. But before they did, Joshua received the command of God to send a representative from all the tribes into the center of the river and to pick up a stone and to bring that stone back and place them, to pitch them. And the word means to not just throw them in a heap, but to set them in order as a memorial. That pile of rocks was going to be a marker, a time marker for the generations that would come after. And they were going to see what that represented of what God had done. Let's think about this work here of 40 years. God's work in Calgary, we know and have heard already, it started in June 1980. The very first service at the Mount Royal College. Reverend William Whiteside was there. Dr. McClellan had been working in conjunction with Brother Jim Warnick, man on the ground here. And those conversations, those phone calls, that interaction by letter, no email back in those days, and all of that was taking time and the right steps. And in God's purpose, he touched the heart of a man who was going to initiate this work, really, or get it started, Reverend Whiteside. And as they went from Royal College to the other places we've heard of and the buildings in between to now where you are today, there have been times of great happiness, times of great thanksgiving and rejoicing. But mixed together in that, we would be denying history if we said that there were not troublesome times. If you know anything about the history of the congregation here, you would say, yes, that is a true statement. But listen to the words of Mr. Whiteside. He said, "We know not what water will yet pass under our bridge. But we are confident that what God has started here in Calgary back in 1980, he will complete. We step out into the future with the full assurance that our God is working all things according to his counsel and good to those that love God." I've had the personal joy and privilege of attending many of the anniversaries, special meetings that have been held here over the years, the occasion of bringing the word from this pulpit at times, and it has been a great joy. And to know that the seats are empty from those faithful warriors, prayer warriors, who have been here, who have served, and have gone on to their home, to glory. One of the occasions, and I just bring you a personal reflection, was back when my wife and I were married in 1981. I have that anniversary down. It was September the 5th, by the way. And as we decided to travel across Canada for our honeymoon, Dr. Paisley had married us in Toronto. And he was flying over here to Calgary, and we drove across the Ontario and the West to get over here, and then those were special meetings. I remember that very clearly. We're meeting in a gymnasium. Dr. Paisley was preaching. Jim Warnick was there. His wife sang a solo. I remember that as if it was yesterday, 40 years ago. And those services then, because of the presence of Dr. Paisley, the interest, the antagonism, it marked this work here as one that was a Protestant witness, an evangelical witness, and a separated witness. And it was in the city, and it was known and marked from that time forward. To know just how many ministers have been in this pulpit and have preached in the church here, well, you're going to have to look at the albums that have been put together, and I think you will find them to be quite enjoyable and informative. So we're now coming back for a moment to the pile of rocks that are there. They're a memorial. And today and this weekend, you are establishing another pile of rocks, another indication of the hand of God and of the evidence of his sovereign purpose of what is going to mean going forward. You know, it's a valid question because the people that were coming after that generation in Joshua's day, they were going to ask, what do these stones represent? What do they mean? What's their purpose? That was a valid question. And it was valid because where did the stones come from? And when the forefathers would begin to set, "Son, daughter, let me tell you where those stones came from." And you could see a grandfather's eyes lighting up as he was there and he saw and he witnessed. They came from the middle of the Jordan River. And those stones, they're not rough like the other stones are. They're smooth because the water of years smooth those rocks out. And they bear a testimony. Where do they come from? A great miracle that God did that day. And a miracle that some witnessed with their own eyes and others would be able to relate by an oral testimony. God did great things for us. Let me share them with you. Friends, never forget sharing with your children, with the next generation, the mighty things that God has done for us. Why are they here? Would be a legitimate question to ask. They're here for the very reason that you are asking why they're here. They want to intrigue you. They want to instill and incite thoughtful questions about our past, to remember. But it's a legitimate question. What do these stones mean? When we think about it being a legitimate question, it's a vital question too, because God commanded that this testimony, that there would be a link to the next generation. Because if that link is ever broken, then we know the reality that a ministry, a church, will just eventually die out in that generation that it began. And so it's a very important thing that we mark these times to convey them to the next generation and share with them what exactly it means. How have you witnessed God's direction and blessing upon you? Have you shared it? Have you given that testimony? Oh, my friends, we are so forgetful creatures, aren't we? The very fact the Lord had to give us a memorial of communion, the Lord's table, to remember his death. What Christian would ever forget the death of his Savior? And yet we become so consumed with our own life and goals and busyness and everything else that the Lord set us that memorial as a blessing to us. And he gives us memorials in our life to remember. You know, the stones in that time for Joshua, that monument that was set up, it spoke about a fulfilled promise, a land flowing with milk and honey that was before them, that the generation was going to go in and receive the benefits God had prepared and then share them with those that came after. That pile of stones was a marker of protection. Not a man would be able to stand before Joshua as they were going into the land. Yeah, it spoke also about provision. Because though the manna ceased on that very day of 40 years of God's provision, the manna ceased. Did that mean that God's provision was over? No, it was only beginning. And he was going to lead them into places where they would take the fruit of vineyards that they did not plant. They would come to live in places that they did not build, cities and houses that they did not construct. God was going before them every step of the way. And to those of you young people or visitors or people that have joined yourself to a fellowship here now, don't ever discount the fact of the witness and testimony of those that have gone before. Thank God for them. And come and step into their shoes and be in the place of prayer to carry on the vital work that God has called us to do. Those stones also, why they taught the people about the prospect of the future, what God was yet going to do. Sometimes we look around and we can become very discouraged. We see the wickedness in our land. We see how the devil seems to be so much more at work in these days. And let us not be filled with faithlessness as the 10 spies did at the very beginning of the 40-year journey. They said, the chariots are big, the walls are big, we can't do this. We will never defeat the enemy. And if we look around us today, we're in the same danger. We look at the enemy as great and we wonder, Will we get through this? Can the work of God prosper in these days? Will there be a future for the witness of the free church in Canada and North America? Are we finished? Or has God yet got a work for us to do? And friends, we apply that by way of application to the ministry here, that there is a promise. And the promise of Christ is this: I will build my church. Believer, rejoice in that. When things get tough and the going is hard, let us come back again to the rich promises that the Lord has given to us. There is protection guaranteed from the Lord against every satanic attack, because the gates of hell will not prevail against the forward march of the Church of Christ. Yes, there's provision to supply all of your need. I'm thankful Brother George shared with us the financial steps that have been taken. And yes, you see the indication of that when things have become hard and a work has gone through the departure of people, tithing diminishes. The bottom line gets looking very bleak. But prayers are offered. People press on with God, faithfully seeking Him, and the Lord opens up new ways of bringing the finances in to support and supply the work, to supply the need. And yes, friends, let us not fail to see the prospect of the future relating to this work, of what the Lord has already done and what He will yet accomplish. Take a good look at the pile of stones that have been set up in order, the monument that the Lord has done. But you ask a question, well, how will this be accomplished for the generation that is yet to be witnessing to the future of this work? I will tell you how it will be done. It will be done by the faithful preaching and the systematic teaching of the Word of God, from a pulpit that stands firm and true upon biblical principles. And to this I thank God for our brother. For the Lord has raised a man up, a man of God, a man of prayer. Get behind him. And the best way that a congregation can get behind their minister is on their knees before God to hold him up. And brothers and sisters, when you do that in this place, you will be amazed of what God will do. You will be amazed how He takes down the walls of opposition. You'll be amazed how your soul is refreshed and strengthened by God's faithful servant. You will do this, my friends, by your earnest praying. Don't leave the burden of prayer to someone else. Don't leave it to the minister. Don't leave it to the deacons. Don't leave it to the eldership. Take up that burden yourself. And when we do, as believers, as the followers of the Lord, we will see how He does and continues His work. But individually, it has to be by a personal and faithful walk of God, by a Spirit-filled life. But my friends, in this congregation, it will be by an undeniable evidence that Christ is in this house. In Mark chapter 2, when the Savior came to Capernaum, it was noised abroad that He was in the house. The presence of the Savior could not be hidden from the community. So conspicuous and radiant was the Son of God that whatever town or village or home, all the region knew that the Lord Jesus was there. The word noised in Mark 2, it is the word akouo. It means to hear. We get our word acoustic from that word. If you have a set of Bose noise-canceling earbuds, you'll probably be a rich person, but if you have a set of those, you will have good acoustics. If you have the set that comes with your iPhone, you will have a moderate acoustic level. If you buy a set from the dollar store, you will have a sorry set of earbuds that will give you some sound quality. It's all different levels of acoustic quality. Is that not the testimony that we want to have? We want to be like the best acoustic quality as Christians, that we can convey the message of Christ, and so that there will be sound clarity and right application, so the Lord will be known in this house. And how will that come about? It will come about, believer, through your own testimony. What use is it if people come and join themselves to a local witness in church and say, I'm a Christian, I'm a member of Calgary FPC, and yet your testimony from Monday to Saturday is somewhat compromised. You're giving an uncertain sound. You're giving the dollar store earbud sound. It's not good. No, our personal testimony, in that we need to have the spirit and the mind of Christ, that our speech and behavior, and that it will be obvious that we have been in touch with the Lord, and that we are hearing His voice. His word is coming to fruition from us. It'll be obvious that we have been walking with the Lord. It'll be very obvious, believer, in your life that you have the fragrance of Christ about you. Because just as the fragrance was upon the high priest that had been anointed with the holy anointing oil, and he wore over his mitre holiness unto the Lord, wherever he walked in the camp of Israel, people know the high priest is around. I can smell that unique fragrance. And so as believers, if we want to have our testimony and our witness there, well, we must have over our heads holiness unto the Lord. And in so doing, we will let bitterness and wrath and anger and malice be not once named among us as believers. Let that be the case in our hearts. And what do we have to do? I think it's necessary for us to pray about that one. Pray about it in my own heart. Never mind praying it in somebody else. Lord, fix that in them, would you? No, Lord, fix that here in me. Let a man, a woman examine themselves. And quite frankly, the more that we do that and say, Lord, you've got to do that fixing work in me, let me be a testimony that will have a clear sound, a right sound, a biblical, truthful sound. It's got to be in our own testimony, and it must also be in our homes. We were encouraged last evening by Brother Gallagher about home relations and the need to know the Lord personally in order to, well, to live to the glory of Christ in our homes. Christianity, if it doesn't begin at home, it won't have much traction out in the world. And you know, the danger is we can all come to the house of God. We can all come with the dressed with the right clothes. We can, and by the way, if you don't come dressed in a certain way, it doesn't mean you're any better or any worse, but it just means that we have to be real and untrue to the Lord. And we can't just put on some kind of a show. It must be that Christ is the head of our homes because He is the head of us personally. The silent listener through every conversation, the unseen guest at every meal, in our homes. Ah, but yes, he must be seen in our church. And as the past is reviewed, can it be said that the Lord's presence was always known among his people in this place? Sadly, that may not be able to be said. But then it can't be said in my church in Toronto either, because we're all dealing with each other in our broken, fragile, out of shape lives, spiritually speaking. And yet I'm so thankful that in the midst of our failures and our carnality and our pride, yet the Lord's grace is able to overcome that in us. And the more we pray that we will have the mind of the Lord, the likeness of the Savior, that we will rejoice that our lives are giving forth the right sound, then the Lord will answer and he will bless. So, my dear friends, as we review the last 40, what will the next 40 look like here? Will these doors remain open to God glorifying, Christ exalting, and Bible honoring preaching? Will this pile of stones continue to speak out of God's great faithfulness and to the prospect of a vibrant witness for truth until Christ returns? That is my prayer for my ministry, for our witness in our city. Would you make it your prayer and your witness for this place? Will the Savior be conspicuous within this house? Will it be noised abroad in the community, in the city, that whatever else they think about Calgary FPC, they cannot deny that Christ Jesus is here and his word is preached. And there is a love that these people, strange as we are, there is a love one for another. Because by all this shall men know that we are the disciples of Christ, if we have love one for another. Yes, all of these things are part of the components of walking the life to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Loving Father, all of these things are before us today, and we see so much our inability. Lord, if we're honest, we know our failures. We know how we have disappointed ourselves, grieved the Spirit at times, for sure. Lord, our prayer is that we will look forward and lift our eyes to the heavens, and we will see the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed. See his name honored. See precious souls born again of the Spirit of God. And there will be joy in heaven over sinners that repent, and seeing backsliders restored, and witnessing the forward march of the body of Christ here. Lord, let that be the prayer that will be answered swiftly, quickly. Bless us now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to thank our brother for that message, that word from the Lord, words of encouragement. We'll sing a few verses of our final hymn, if we may, please. You'll find on the back of the order of service, hymn 525 is Trust and Obey. And we'll sing verses 1 and 2 before asking our brother, Mr. Derek Strook, to come forward and to give a prayer of thanksgiving, please. Standing to sing, please. Verses 1 and 2. While our brother's making his way forward to the pulpit, I'll just like to draw your attention to the word of thanks at the back of the song sheet. Let's offer our thanks for the ladies for decorating the building and for keeping it clean, for Wendy and Nanya for the musical accompaniment, to Bob Neamey for completing the church signage on the eastern wall there on the outside, for Caleb Strook for organising the catering, and for all who have been helped out in any way that we may celebrate the Lord's establishing and sustaining grace granted to us to his glory. Brother Strook, please.
The song that we sing, I associate all my life with William Whiteside, the man who started the work, and the dear memories that I have of him. I learned it off by heart from him. What a wonderful song. Father, we come before thee here tonight, Lord. And Father, we do give thee thanks for the 40 years. 40 years, O Lord, of thy goodness to us, O Lord. Because, O Lord, thou hast caused us, O Lord, the people who were here 40 years ago, to trust and obey thy word. As Larry said, O Lord, they looked forward, and we give thee thanks, O Lord. They saw ahead. And 40 years later, Lord, here we are. We give thee thanks, Lord, for thy goodness, O Lord, to us. Father, I would like to read this, thy word that Larry mentioned. It says here, Lord, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised about that he was in the house. Truly, O Lord, that is thy son, Christ Jesus. And straightway many were gathered together, in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Father, may it please you, Lord, to fill this house again. And Lord, these verses here, it says, and he preached the word unto him. Lord, thou hast brought a man. Again, Lord, thou hast been faithful. Again, thou hast brought a man. Lord, wouldst thou be pleased to touch the man that thou hast brought. And may he preach the word unto him, O Lord. Be it so, Lord, the next 40 years. Father, we praise thy namesake, O Lord, for thy goodness to us and thy mercy and thy love, O Lord. Father, bring salvation to this home. That as Larry said, O Lord, that it may be noised about, O Lord, that thy name is glorified here. Father, give honor and glory unto thy name, O Lord, in this work that thou hast established. Father, we ask and pray. Be with us all, Lord. We give you thanks, Father, for the food, Lord, that thou hast blessed us with, O Lord. Bless this good food, Lord, to our bodies, for our health and strength. But above all, Lord, Lord, impart the spiritual food, Lord, to our souls here in this house that thou hast built. Father, we praise the namesake, and we truly, Lord, give thee thanks for thy goodness to us. Glorify the name, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
On behalf of the Calgary Free Presbyterian Church and the Deacon Board, we would like to express our gratitude to Mr. Gallagher. And if you would please come up and accept this envelope on our behalf, it would be much appreciated. In regards to all thy work that has put behind the scenes, unbeknownst to so many people, and we truly appreciate your wisdom, your guidance, your direction, and especially behind the scenes of this work, you've been involved in more ways and any of us can know in so many years. And we just really appreciate that help. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for your thoughtfulness. And I say that to everyone today, for your thoughtfulness and assistance and
Congregation may be seated to stand up again very shortly. The food has arrived and it's only getting cold. So for those who are not remaining to enjoy that meal, I will go to the door to bid you a fond farewell. You don't have to leave, of course, but for those who are leaving, then I'll bid you a fond farewell. And for the remainder, I believe you can go downstairs to the basement. And for those who are not as well suited to the staircase, you can stay upstairs here in the hall. All right, thank you. May the Lord bless you.